I want to talk this morning. The title of the message is Ebenezer, and we talked about this the last few weeks. It says, "This far the Lord has been with us." That's what it meant, stone of help. That's why they declared that stone Ebenezer. But when we recognize where God has brought us, and we talk about Ebenezer, we also need to talk about Ichabod. Everybody remember what Ichabod is? You will. Pay attention, because I'm going to tell you. First, start off with Romans 11:33, where it says, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become His counselor, or who has first given to Him, and it shall be repaid to Him? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." This passage right here starts off talking about how the Jews had turned their back on God, that might open the door for the Gentiles, but that God's purpose was also to bring the Jews back around. But it says that God's ways are beyond finding out. We can't determine what God is going to do. In this world which we live in, we hear oftentimes about, you know, thinking outside the box or putting God in a box. Do we ever have an idea God is going to do it exactly this way? There's a problem with that. God doesn't like doing things my way. I've tried. He doesn't do things my way. He probably doesn't do things your way either. I'll give you an example here. Judges 16, beginning with verse 18. Samson and Delilah, you know the story. "When Delilah saw that he had told him all her heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, 'Come once more, for he has told me all his heart.' So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. And when she had lulled him to sleep on her knees, she called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson.' So he woke from his sleep and said, 'I will go out as before and at other times and shake myself free.' But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him." You remember the life of Samson. Samson was supposed to live a life holy, consecrated, separated unto God from his birth. And you remember the lifestyle that Samson lived. The only thing anywhere near his Nazirite vows that he did was he didn't cut his hair. He did everything else he wasn't supposed to do. But when he went out, he said, "It will be just like before. God's going to take care of me." Do we ever get that in our head? God's always been there for me before. It doesn't matter what I do. It's a scary thought. Prayerfully, we don't. But honestly, I think we'll find that there are situations in our life where we take God for granted. God says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Have we taken God into some places we really shouldn't have? Taken Him into situations where we shouldn't have? Think about it. So here, Samson said, "God has always been with me. He's always given me His strength." And he had the locks of his head hair shaved off, and the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him, and he didn't know it. He expected God was just going to take care of him like he always had before. Now, I bring that out so I can bring out this next concept where we talk about Ichabod. In 1 Samuel 4, verses 3 and 4, well, in verses 1 and 2, the children of Israel go into battle against the Philistines and they get beat. In verse 3, 1 Samuel 4, verse 3 says, "When the people had come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, 'Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us, that when it comes among us, it may save us from the hand of our enemies.' So the people sent to Shiloh, that they might bring from there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, who dwells between the cherubim, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God." Now I want you to get this picture. They literally thought they had God in a box. The Ark of the Covenant was a representation of God being with them, but they thought it was more than just the representation of God being with them. They thought if they went to get the box, if they went to get the Ark and brought it into battle, God was obligated to do what they wanted Him to do. Think about that. Do we ever do that? Again, not to the extreme, not to this extreme, but do we ever assume that God is just going to handle a situation? How many of us have made a really, really, really stupid mistake and said, okay, God, you love me, now fix it? It doesn't always work that way. God loves us. He cares for us. Sometimes caring for us is allowing us to learn a lesson in the middle of our mistake. It's never that fun, but that's the way things work sometimes. We forget. So rather than read all of 1 Samuel 4, which is a fascinating chapter, I'm just going to drop down to verse 17 and read the last couple of verses at the end of the chapter. So they brought needless to say, they brought the Ark of the Covenant into battle, expecting that because they brought it, God always, when they brought the Ark into battle, the children of Israel before this, was because God told them to, first off. But this time they just did it because they say, oh, we got God captive, we'll take Him in, and God will take care of this for us. It didn't work out that way. The army got wiped out. The priest's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, which you remember hearing about them, they were really, really, really messed up. But they get killed. The ark gets captured. And all the stuff that happened from that, that's some more interesting reading. But the messenger comes. So verse 17. So the messenger came from the battle, and the messenger answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there has been a great slaughter among the people. Also your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God has been captured. Then it happened when he made mention of the ark of God that Eli, who was the high priest at the time, you remember, fell off the seat backwards by the side of the gate, and his neck was broken and he died. For the man was old and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. Now his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child due to be delivered. And when she heard the news that the ark of God was captured and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and gave birth, for her labor pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women who stood by her said to her, do not fear, for you have borne a son. But she did not answer, nor did she regard it. Then she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory has departed from Israel, because the ark of God has been captured, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God has been captured. Recognizing that as they tried to have God in a box, making God do their bidding, making God do their will, the glory of God left. Just like when Samson, we were just reading about it, he got the haircut, the strength of God had departed from him. But he assumed it was going to be the way it always was before. They assumed if they took the ark of God into battle, God was obligated to win the battle for them. In our own lives, we assume God's going to take care of things. We assume God's going to do things our way. It almost never works that way. Never, ever, ever works out. Don't get me wrong. God loves us. God's at work. God heals. God delivers. God forgives. And He is at work in our lives. But sometimes we have to go through the pain of our own mistakes as God is teaching us patience, as God is teaching us His love. We can't just go in the fact that, you know, I signed on the dotted line, I bought something I couldn't afford, God's going to get me out of it. Or it was in the heat of the moment and I said something I shouldn't have said and hurt somebody's feelings and now I have to pay for it, whatever that looks like. Maybe I mouthed off to the cop the wrong way. Anybody ever mouthed off to the cop the wrong way? Not recently, praise God. Praise God. But mouth off to the cop the wrong way? Have we ever done things that We just assumed God's going to take care of it. We step out in our own flesh, step out in our own understanding, step out in our own wisdom, step out in our own foolishness, and get ourselves in a mess, and then say, okay, God, I'm yours. You got to take care of me. The glory of God has departed. We can't put God in a box. We can't assume that God is going to do things the way we want Him to. That's Ichabod. The glory of God has departed. Praise God, that's not the end of the story. And that's not the end of the story in our own lives. We talked about Ichabod. Let's talk about Ebenezer. 1 Samuel 7, beginning with verse 7. Now the Philistines, we know about them. They were just the bad guys in the last passage. Guess what? They're still the bad guys. When they heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that He may save us from the hand of the Philistines." And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now as Samuel was offering the burnt offerings, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." Leading up to this battle, the children of Israel were crying out to God because of their oppression. They were being oppressed by the Philistines, and they repented and cried out to God and asked for God's help. And when they saw the enemy coming, they said, "Samuel, don't stop. Don't stop praying to God for us. Don't stop offering the sacrifice. Don't stop doing this. Keep petitioning the Lord for His help." And as they did that, they went into battle. God showed Himself mighty on their behalf. God showed that He was victorious in battle. Said that the Lord thundered upon them with a loud thunder. And the Philistines were confused and they were overcome by Israel. God showed up, not because they had the ark, not because they had the box and figured God had to do it this way, but because they went first to the Lord and said, "Lord, help us. Lord, guide us." So in our own life, do we set up the stone Ebenezer? "This far the Lord has been with me," and continue to seek His face and continue to ask Him to teach us and to guide us? Or do we say, "God's taken care of us so far, He'll take care of us no matter what," and put Him in a box? God says in one place, "My ways," says, "as heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways. My thoughts above your way, above your thoughts." Another place it says, "I am the Lord, my ways are beyond finding out." So when we sit there and we try to decide how God is going to do something, we find out that we're wrong. But if we sit there and say, "Lord, I trust you. I don't know what's coming. I don't know what this day is going to bring forth. I don't even know what this situation is going to bring forth." Or, "Lord, I see some dangerous times or troublesome times coming, and I need your guidance." Seeking the Lord through it. Seeking the Lord before it. Seeking the Lord to direct us. Ask the Lord to direct our steps. Ask the Lord to lead us and to teach us of His ways. And then giving praise because God has shown Himself faithful. I find it interesting that they set up the stone Ebenezer is between Mizpah and Shen. Everybody remembers what Mizpah is? We talked about that a couple of weeks ago as well. That's another one of those things where they put up a pile. They put up a heap. Said the Lord, "Watch, this pile of stones is a witness." We set up a place to mark that the Lord is going to watch between us. This is Jacob and Laban, his father-in-law. "That you will not cross over against me to do harm, and I will not cross over against you to do you harm. But they set up a pile of stones as a witness and as a testimony. This is where something happened. When Jacob was fleeing Esau and going to Laban, and he spent the night in the field, and he had his head on the stone, and he saw the vision of the angels ascending and descending on the ladder. And he said, this is nothing but Bethel, the house of God. And he set up the stone altar. He said, this is where this happened. In the Old Testament, they physically set up memorials where things happened. But in our own lives, we have to set up memorials of what God has done. Because God has done wondrous things in our lives. The very fact that we can get up in the morning and breathe is a blessing from God. His tender mercies are fresh and new each morning. We can look back over our lives and see where God has done some miraculous things. Some may be more dramatic than others. I always get a kick out of when Rich was here as our praise and worship leader, and he would cover the pulpit. I have him on tape several times saying he was so glad that he didn't have a testimony like mine was. Because I was messed up. He was a good boy. God brought him through. And I also remember a testimony service down in Virginia one time many years ago. This lady in her 80s got up and praised God that God had delivered her from alcohol and cigarettes and prostitution. He said, he saved me when I was 5 years old and I never had to do any of that. But she had a heart recognizing that had it not been for the hand of God in her life, all of those things were possibilities. Do we give praise to God because of each and every new day, because of each and every opportunity, because He is worthy? This far, the Lord has been with me. Last passage, Psalm 61, beginning with verse 1. It says, hear my cry, O God, and attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever, and I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Do we give God praise for what He has already done in our lives? Do we say, Ebenezer, this far, the Lord has been with me? Or do we try to put Him in a box and have God do things our way? Because it won't work that way. I praise God that He didn't let me continue in the way I was going. That He had a plan and a purpose and reached out and caught my attention. And I can say, this far the Lord has been with me. This far, God has shown Himself merciful and God has shown Himself mighty in my life. I praise God for that. I thank Him for it each day because He has done so much. He has been so good to me. Yes, every once in a while I try to put God in a box and He doesn't fit. And I have an empty box that I think God's in and it doesn't work. But when I repent, and when I ask the Lord to lead me, and when I ask God to direct me, He shows Himself mighty once again because of His great love for us. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank You. Thank You, Lord, for the reminder that we can praise You and we can recognize where You've been and what You've been doing. We can recognize that this far the Lord has been with us. But Lord, there's also the danger of getting complacent in that. And finding ourselves all by ourselves. Finding ourselves without Your presence and without Your guidance. And without Your blessing. Father, help us to be mindful of who You are. Help us to be mindful, Father, that Your ways are above our ways. And even when things happen that we do not understand, situations come up that we find painful or just overwhelming, that You are still God and You still love us and You are still at work. And if we will give praise to You where we are, our eyes will be open to see Your hand. Our eyes will be open to see Your grace. Our eyes will be open to see Your mercy. We will have thankful hearts. Hearts filled with praise. as we were singing this morning. I just want to thank you, Lord, for all you've done in my life. You've done so much. And we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.